This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What's going on? I said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That's a little bit better. Please welcome. And inshallah, have a glad tiding that we will have two amazing sheikhs, inshallah. وَلَا نُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا وَاللَّهُ حَسِبُهُمْ inshallah. They're too good to me. So that's why I'm saying they are good. Very good. Shaykh Abu Bakr is so happy to have him here with us. And inshallah, that will be bushara for everybody. So have that glad tiding. There will be two good lectures, inshallah. And after that, maybe we'll have some refreshments. I don't know. I think so. I hope so. Inshallah. Barakallahu. And after that, inshallah, we pray the Isha when we finish the Muhabara, because Isha starts 8:30 and we can pray until midnight. So we'll finish the Muhabara and the durus. After that, we will pray inshallah. We'll postpone the salah a little bit. Please welcome Ibrahim Ayash, the chairman of MCC, Muslim Council of Calgary, the umbrella that created all those masajid. Abu Bakr is one of them, so please welcome.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I'd like to welcome you all here tonight. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, we have a good turnout, and this is a very good indicator, especially for the Muslim Council, that people, Muslims, are always seeking knowledge and are always thirsty for knowledge, and so this makes me very happy, alhamdulillah. So I want to welcome you all tonight. Thank you all for coming out tonight. I also want to thank our guest imams, Sheikh Abdul Ghani, Sheikh Saeed. Specifically, I'd like to thank Sheikh Abdul Razzaq, who worked very hard on putting this event together. Brother Abdul Razzaq here, the president of Abu Bakr Musalla, and the management committee of Abu Bakr Musalla. Obviously, this cannot happen without your support and your ongoing support. So inshallah, I want to encourage all of you to continue to support this musalla and continue to frequent this musalla, inshallah. So jazakumullah khair, and inshallah you'll enjoy your evening tonight. Assalamu alaikum.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastahdih. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This nasiha is entitled The Amazing Story. And it is an amazing story because it is a real life story. It is a real life event that took place. It is a story that has inspired people in the past. Anyone who came in touch with this story was inspired by this story. And anyone who gets to know it, likewise, becomes inspired by this story. So it is my sincere hope tonight, inshallah, that all the brothers and sisters who are present will relate to this story and will benefit, inshallah ta'ala, and then will pass on this information to others who are not with us here tonight. So without any further introduction, I will begin the story. One night, the merciful, loving mother went to sleep, only for her sleep to be interrupted by a scary dream. In her dream, she saw a woman who came to her and said to her, "When your son turns 18, he will die." She woke up terrified from this dream that she had just seen. She decided to keep this dream a secret, buried deep inside her conscience, and never told anyone about it until her son turned 18, and he went beyond 18, and he became 19 years of age. She then breathed a sigh of relief and then decided that she should share this dream with one of her close relatives. She told her that she had seen such and such a dream, and that 18 years had gone by, and that nothing had happened to her son. Around this time, the father of this youth, this young man, whose name was Umar, he called out to his son, "Ya Abdullah." So this is the real life story of one Abdullah ibn Umar Bani'ma. He is from a Hadrami family. He is of Yemeni descent, but lives in modern day Mamlakat al-Saudiya, Saudi Arabia. He was born into a religious and a respectful family. This young brother, he lived just like any peer, anyone of his age group, moving to and forth between his home and school. When he became a youth, he befriended a group of friends that introduced him to smoking. Now this news, this information that he used to smoke, it got to his father, it reached his father. And he became very upset. He called out to his son, "Ya Abdullah, hal tudakhin?" "Oh Abdullah, is it true that you smoke?" And Abdullah says, "La, I don't smoke." And so the father says to him, "Aqsim, swear by Allah that you don't smoke." And the young man, without any hesitation, he swears by Almighty Allah that he doesn't smoke. But deep in his heart, he knew that he was lying. So his father said to him, قَالَ لَهُ الْأَبْ. His father said to him, كَسَرَ اللَّهُ رَقَبَتَكْ إِن كُنْتَ تُدَخِّنْ. May Allah break your neck if it is true that you smoke. And this curse, it went by just like many other curses that are pronounced by parents against their children. وَخَطَأَ أَن يَفْعَلُونَ. And this is a grave mistake that is committed by parents when they curse their children. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن يدعو الوالد على ولده. For the Messenger of Allah, he has forbidden that a parent should invoke Allah's curse or should make a supplication or a curse against their children. عَلَّهَا أَن تُصِيبَ أَوْ تُوَافِقَ سَاعَةَ إِجَابَةً. For when a parent pronounces a curse, it is a prayer, it is a supplication. And sometimes the parent doesn't know, it coincides with the time when Allah answers the prayers and it goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this father, Umar, he made this curse on his son, but he did not know that this curse, ارتفعت إلى جو السماء, that it went all the way to the heavens. وفتحت لها أبواب الإجابة أو عساها,
and the doors of the heavens were open for this curse. لَلْأَبُ يَعْلَمْ وَلَلْإِبْنُ يَعْلَمْ وَلَلْأُمُّ تَعْلَمْ. Not the father knew, nor the son, nor the mother, that this prayer, this curse, had gone and had been accepted. The scene in which Abdullah declared his innocence was over. And so that night, Abdullah went to sleep, only to be woken up by his father for Salatul Fajr. Abdullah says, تَظَاهَرْتُ بِالْإِسْتِيقَابِ. I pretended that I was waking up. ثُمَّ لَمَّا انْصَرَفَ الْوَالِدِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ عُدْتُ لِأَنَامِ. When I was sure that my father had left the door and he had gone to the masjid, I decided to go back to sleep. وَاسْتَيْقَذْتُ بَعْدَهَا لِلِّحَاقِ بِالْمَدْرَسَةِ. And I only woke up at the time when I have to get ready and go to school. Abdullah, however, he never used to go to school. He and his friend had come up with tricks, and so he would lie to his parents that he was going to school, but together with his friends, they would go to different places in the city, and they would hang out together, but to school he never went. And so this day was no different from the other days. On that particular day, they decided to go for swimming. And so they went to one of the city's pools, the city of Riyadh, and they decided to go for swimming. Abdullah says that when he was ready to swim, he went up the diving board, 3 meters up from the swimming pool, and then he decided to take a plunge. He decided to dive into the pool. He says, as soon as I entered the water and my body came into touch with the pool, he said, Inhala jismi kulluhu ala raqabati. I felt the whole weight of my body piling the pressure on my neck. He says, Sami'tu farqa'ata faqarati raqabati tahta al-ma. I could hear the breaking sound of my neck as I took a plunge inside the water. فَتَذَكَّرْتُ حِينَهَا دَعْوَةَ وَالِدِي. At that moment of time, I remembered the curse that was pronounced by my father. Allah, Allah. The life of Abdullah ibn Ni'mah is about to change by Allah's decree. Underneath the water, he says, his whole body was piling pressure on his neck, and consequently he broke 3 bones from his vertebra. Abdullah says that underneath the water, he was struggling to hold his breath. And for 5 minutes that he was holding his breath underneath the water, his whole life started playing in his mind like a movie. Everything that he used to do. He says, خِفْتُ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ لِأَنَّنِي لَمْ أُقَدِّمْ شَيْئًا. He says that I feared to die in this state, for I was unrestrained as a young person. I used to do everything that I wanted. At the same time, I took an oath by Allah and lied to my father. And I used to smoke, and I used to do all kinds of things. He says, as all the events were playing in my mind, I remembered a unique event when I was a little kid. I would pass by an old woman who would be sitting on the streets and beg, and then I would give her some money. Anything that I could spare from my pocket money, I used to give it to her. And she used to raise up her hands and make a dua for me. And then he says, وَتَذَكَّرْتُ فِيمَا تَذَكَّرْتُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And then I remembered the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, whosoever whose final words in this life is لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, he will go to Jannah. فَبَقِيتُ أُتَمْتِمُ بِشَفَتِي تَحْتَ الْمَا لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, I was trying to whisper to myself لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ underneath the water. All this time, and none of his friends knows what is happening underneath there. In fact, one of his friends says that he left the pool, he went outside, and he smoked a whole cigarette, and he came back, and Abdullah was still underneath the water. At this time, they realized that their friend was in grave danger. And so they quickly dived inside the water, and they took him out. As they were trying to save him, Abdullah was like a lifeless body. This young brother that was tall, with a strong build, athletic, he used to practice different sports. Abdullah found himself confined to a hospital bed. And the doctors tried to save his life. And he would move between the hospital bed and the theater. And the doctors would cut him up and stitch him up again, and he goes back to his bed. Eventually, after 4 years of spending his time confined to a hospital bed, and when they realized there was nothing they could do for him, they decided to take him home. After 4 years, Abdullah found himself at home, completely paralyzed from his neck downwards up until his feet. This brother, this young brother, who had so many dreams in life, and he had endless ambitions, he became motionless in bed. Nothing moves from his body except his tongue, his eyes, and his heart. And the rest of his body is lifeless. Abdullah found himself with no friends. And as he was lying in bed in this state, Abdullah woke up to find himself alone with no friends. Those ones that would incite him against his parents and make him not to go to school. Those ones that introduced him to smoking. Those ones that told him that he should lie to his parents. They were nowhere to be seen. Abdullah was all alone. Abdullah was asked about his wishes when he found himself completely helpless. What are your wishes? And Abdullah bin Ni'mah, he made 3 amazing wishes. And that is the first clip of the story that I want to share with you tonight. The story of Abdullah bin Ni'mah and the first clip, which is the 3 wishes of Abdullah bin Ni'mah. Please pay attention.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد
اشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد
طبعا قدر الله عز وجل لا اعتراض عليه وعسى أن تكره شيئا كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وهو خير لكم لكن لو سألتك يا عبد الله عن أهم الأشياء يعني اللي فقدتها وتتمنى حصولها بعد إصابتك يعني بالشلل والإعاقة
أماني في 3 أماني تتعبني هي حسرة أمني أني أسر لله سيدا وإن شاء الله ما أقوم منها في خوف داخلي في آية في القرآن تقول يوم يكشف عن ساق فيدعون الى السجود فلا يستطيعون. انا لا ما اقدر اسجد بنا. ايام ما كنت امشي ضيعت صلوات كثيره. الان في ناس ممكن يحزنوا عليها صح؟ يشوفوني بهذه الحاله يحزنوا عليها. لكن لما اكون ما اصلي ما حد يحزن عليها. الثانيه اني اقلب ورقه بالمصحف. هذه انتم ما تفكروا فيها. انا اشوفها مثل الجبال. الثالثه اني نفسي وقت عيد او مناسبه او فرحه ادخل البيت اضم امي.
The three wishes that he had wished for was that he could prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that he couldn't do when he was in that state. And he remembers when he was young and healthy and full of life, he never used to pray salah. Just like so many young Muslims today who don't have time for salah. But when something bad happens to them, that is when they will wish that they had given some time for Allah and that they would have prayed salah. So his first wish was to make sujood and never be able to lift his head from that sujood and that he would die in that state. His second wish was that if he could open the Mus'haf, the Qur'an, and recite it. And many a times when people would visit him, he used to ask them, كَيْفَ عَلَاقَتُكُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ? How is your relationship with the Qur'an? He says, أَشْتَهِي أَنْ أُقَلِّبَ وَرَقَةَ الْمُصْحَفِ. He says, how much I wish I could turn a page of the Mus'haf. You people can do what I cannot. And the third wish, he says, is that on Eid or on any other day, he could walk into his mother's room and give her a hug or kiss her, appreciating his mother. This amazing mother to our brother Abdullah ibn Ni'ma. When Abdullah talks about his relationship with his mother, it is a special relationship between a mother and her son. Abdullah says that I wake her up so many times at night. She effectively became my hands with which I eat. She became my eyes with which I see. She became my feet with which I walk. She became practically everything for me in life. His mother is a very special human being to Abdullah. And so Abdullah, in the second clip that I will inshallah show you, relates his special relationship with his mother. So brothers and sisters, pay attention to the second clip as well.
هي كل شيء لك. يدك، رجلك، عيونك. طبعا الحمد لله. أمي طبعا تعتبر كل شيء لي في الحياة. فعلا سبحانه وتعالى. الحمد لله. ما أقدر إيش أقول عن أمي. ليش أقول مهما تكلمت ما بقول شيء. لو أقول لكم عمل واحد بس، أنا أمني عندي إني أضم أمي، مو في أي وقت، في عيد أو مناسبة أحضنها. تجي العيد والمناسبة أمي فيها حسرة أكثر مني. لكن لو سألتكم أنتم الآن، متى آخر مرة ضمت أمك؟ أنتم اللي أمامي واللي في التلفزيون، متى آخر مرة ضمت أمك؟ الحمد لله. أمي في داخلها حسرة تقول لي مرة جينا من الحرم. تقول لي نفسي أول أيام أدخل الحرم وأنت ماسكني وتطوفني. الحمد لله ما أعرف لله. لو قلت لك الآن تخيل بطنك ما تمشي خمس أيام بطنك ما تمشي، إيش هتعمل؟ رد عليها تاخذ ملايين. شربت الملايين ما نزل شيء، ايش حتسوي؟ تروح المستشفى. طيب 10 ايام بطنك ما مشيت، ايش حتسوي؟
عملية
مستشفى. طيب انا لي 16 سنة كل 10 ايام ما تمشي بطني، كل 12 يوم، كيف اسوي؟ كل 10 ايام اروح المستشفى؟ عندي امي الله يعطيها العافية تخرج اللي بطني بيدها، اللي بطني تخرجه بيدها، من يسوي لك كده على امك وانت تفضل زوجتك على امك؟ والله تفضل ولدك على امك، تفضل صاحبك على امك. الحمد لله. فين بسوة القلوب هذه؟ الله يرحمها.
حرمة اللي اتصلت بك
عادة. حرمة دقت علي، حرمة وكان عندي محاضرة، قالت ابغى اكلم عبد الله. رد عليها خالد صاحبي، قال لها يا امي خالد عبد الله مشغول شوية. قالت له اسألك بالله، قل له يا ولدي اذا كان عبد الله انحرم انه يضم امه، انا ابنائي عندي وانحرمت انهم يضموني، ما فيهم ولا شيء، ولا واحد فيهم يدخل يضمني. قاسي قلوبهم، قاسي قلوب الناس. اتقوا الله، والله الزم رجلها بالجنة تتم، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وانت تتجرى على امك وابوك وتبر صاحبك وصديقك.
قتلوهم.
اي والله
قتلوهم. اباء ابناء يقتلوا اباءهم وامهاتهم.
قال الشاعر: اغرى امرئ يوما غلاما جاهلا بنقوده كيما ينال به الضرر، فقال ائتني بفؤاد امك يا فتى ولك الجواهر والدراهم والدرع، فمضى واغمد خنجرا في صدرها والقلب اخرجه وعاد على الاثر، لكنه من فرط سرعته هوى فتدحرج القلب المعفر ادعثر، ناداه قلب الام وهو معفر: ولدي حبيبي هل اصابك من ضرر؟ فكأن هذا الصوت رغم حنوه غضب السماء على الفتى قد انهمر، فاستل خنجره ليطعن قلبه طعنا سيبقى عبرة لمن اعتبر، ناداه قلب الأم: كف يد ولا تطعن فؤادي مرتين على الأثر، كف يد ولا تطعن فؤادي مرتين على الأثر. يا أخي الإنسان اللي عنده علاقة مع أمه وأبوه سيئة، من الآن أنا حجة له أو عليه، من الآن يعلن توبة بينه وبين الله، ثم إذا قام من المجلس هذا أو من أمام التلفزيون يروح يسلم على يدين ورجل أمه وتوبوا إلى الله. الله يغفر لنا
يا شيخ.
And even when Abdullah was asked about his relationship with his father who cursed him, and what happened to him was as a result of his father's curse, he said that I will not permit anyone to criticize my father, whoever it is. If my father cursed me, it is because of me and what I did, not because of my father. And when Abdullah found himself completely paralyzed in bed, unable to do anything, forsaken by his friends. And the only people who came to him were the people who used to pray in the local masjid. And so they would come to him and visit him in order to learn something from him and to see for themselves this young brother who was so full of life, and then he ended up in that state. And he too, Abdullah, he also benefited from those people who would come to him in the masjid, from the masjid. And his whole life transformed, and he became a da'i, a person in that state. He became a person inviting other people to Allah. And how many a young brother who came to visit him, who used to smoke anything that they smoke, and after seeing him, they went back and they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many a person who used to disrespect his parents, when they saw Abdullah, they went back and they changed their lives. How many a person who had no time to open the Quran, they went back and decided to renew their relationship with the Quran. Before a time comes when they would wish to open the Quran and they would not get the chance to open the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Abdullah used to give nasiha to people. And eventually Abdullah became a famous person. And he used to be invited to give live talk shows on TVs, just like the one that he saw. And on one occasion when Abdullah was doing a live TV show, and there was an audience in the studio, and back home millions of people were watching, and amongst the audiences that were watching from home was a young sister. And this sister, she became touched by the story of Abdullah. And so when the talk show was over, she said to her father and her mother that I want to get married to Abdullah. Perhaps a person might think this was a decision that was taken in haste. She made a hasty decision, or perhaps something was wrong with her. Maybe she was also handicapped, disabled, just like Abdullah. But no, this wasn't a decision that she had taken in haste. And no, she wasn't handicapped or disabled like Abdullah. This was a young, beautiful sister who had dreams just like any young person her age. And she had so much hopes in life. But when she saw the story of Abdullah and she became touched, she decided that she should get married to this young brother. And her parents tried to discourage her that she shouldn't get married to this man. But she made up her mind. And through her mother, she convinced her father to accept this. And so they decided to go and visit Abdullah and see this person with their own eyes. And the Arabs, they say, لَيْسَ مَنْ رَأَى كَمَنْ سَمِعَ. Seeing is not the same as hearing. When they saw Abdullah, and that Abdullah was incapable of doing anything, he couldn't do a thing for himself. She could have changed her mind, but she became even stronger. And she decided that this was the person she wanted for the rest of her life. And even her cousin brother, he tried to talk her father out of it and say that if you cancel this engagement to this young man, I will pay 1,000,000 riyals, which is the equivalent of more than $300,000 if you cancel the engagement and I get to marry the sister. But this young sister, she had already made up her mind that she was going to get married to Abdullah. But Abdullah said to her on this occasion, she said to him that if I get married to you, my mother will come first, she will come second, she will come third, you will only be the fourth person or the fifth person in my life. She could have changed her mind, but she decided to go ahead. And many a time she would say to Abdullah, أُرِيدُ يَا عَبْدَاللَّهِ أَنْ أَخُذَ بِيَدِكَ لِنَطِيرَ إِلَى جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Oh Abdullah, I wish to hold you by your hand and be able to fly with you in Jannah. And so the two families agreed that Abdullah should get married to the sister. However, there was one obstacle. This sister is a Saudi national. Abdullah is a Yemeni who lives in Saudiya with a permit, with a residence permit. And the laws of that country, it states that if you are a non-Saudi, you cannot marry a Saudi. And so the scholars, A'immatul Haram, and the scholars, they had to make shafa'a, they had to intercede with the authorities, and finally the authorities gave permission, and permission was given to Abdullah to get married to this sister. And the wedding of Abdullah by Ni'mah took place, and people came from all corners to witness this amazing wedding. People came from as far as Egypt, from Qatar, from Bahrain, from Kuwait, and others, yet they watched this wedding as it was streaming live on the TV. And so the final clip, which will conclude the story of Abdullah bin Ni'mah, is Abdullah bin Ni'mah's wedding.
تلك المآثر بل علت بمكان. وجوارحي وبياني في خافقي وجوارحي وبياني
إنه يا روحي يا
This is my nasiha to all the brothers who are here tonight and all the sisters likewise. I know nobody is perfect, but the truth is, we will never be able to repay back the kindness of our mothers. I know so many young brothers, they have brought nothing to their parents' lives, and in particular to their mothers' lives, except misery. How many a times they make them cry tears and they make them feel helpless. But I promise you one thing, young brother, that if you make your mother's life hell on this earth, then I give you this promise of Allah, that Allah will make your life hell on this earth. If you don't do your parents good and justice, then Allah, He will deal with you. This is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many parents are in a state of despair and helplessness because of what their children do to them? Picture this. They brought you to this country because they wanted to give you the best in life. They sacrificed the place that they were born in, that they grew up in, that they were used to. And they migrated here just because they wanted to give you the best opportunity in life. But when you came here, What did you do to them? You tortured them, tormented them, turned their lives into misery. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He was watching all along what you're doing to them, and He had His ways of taking His revenge on people who disrespect their parents. Try and picture the anguish of a mother. A brother, when I was in the city of Ottawa, this is a brother who runs a travel agency. He told me that a Muslim mother migrated to this country with four of her children. She used to live in Saudi, which is a Muslim country. And the husband used to make good money. So when she decided to come here, her husband tried to discourage her. He told her, we don't need to go there. We have a good life here. We earn good money. Why do you want to go there? But you know what? Her picture, the picture she had of this place was, this must be Jannah, this must be paradise on this earth. And so she badly wanted to come here. She was told, all the mothers and the sisters, they're driving big cars. And at the end of the month, they make money. And so she wanted to live this kind of life. In the back of her mind, this was freedom. And so when the husband tried to discourage her and it didn't work, she decided to make hijrah and she migrated here. The young men, three boys and one girl, the boys grew up so fast, they were already teenagers when they came to this country. And then they decided to move to Edmonton. They went to Edmonton, and three of the boys got involved in drugs. Two of them, they got killed in the same year. The third one, he committed murder, and he's now serving a lifetime in prison. As for the girl, she became a prostitute. What is this mother left with? She goes to Abdul Nasir, the brother who owns the travel agency, and she gives him some money. She says, brother, I just need a one-way ticket. I came here with my children. I came here with my deen. I have lost everything. I have no hope for life anymore. I just need to leave. I remember I was in one of the masajid in the city of Minneapolis on the 27th night of Ramadan. And people were praying tahajjud. And a mother sends a written request. She says, I want people to remember me in my dua. I came with seven of my children to this country. And today I do not have a single of my children with me. All have scattered and gone. Go to any Muslim home. It is a challenge. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ Except the ones that Allah has exempted with His mercy. And you will see and you will hear parents talking about the difficulty that they have in raising their children in this environment. When I was in Ottawa in Ramadan, a father inside the masjid in Ramadan, he was cursing his own children. He had given up on them. And so all he could do was just curse them and call them all kinds of names. Do you know one thing, my brothers? I wouldn't blame the children entirely. The parents do. They have a big role to play. They have a great responsibility that they have shouldered, but they have not fulfilled their responsibility. When they came here, with the mindset that this is the place to make money. We all have to accept one thing, that people migrated and they came here simply because of dunya, nothing else. That is the reason why people came here, in order to make money. But in the process of making money, they lost everything. They lost their deen, and consequently they lost their families. So why blame the children only? You go to the masjid. I prayed in the same masjid that I gave khutbah yawm al-jum'ah. And the masjid is massive, amazing, huge. Yawm al-jum'ah, The masjid was completely full. Salatul Fajr today, as I took a plunge inside the water, فَتَذَكَّرْتُ حِينَهَا دَعْوَةَ وَالِدِي. At that moment of time, I remembered the curse that was pronounced by my father. Allah, Allah. The life of Abdullah ibn Ni'mah is about to change by Allah's decree. Underneath the water, he says, his whole body was piling pressure on his neck, and consequently he broke 3 bones from his vertebra. Abdullah says that underneath the water, he was struggling to hold his breath. And for 5 minutes that he was holding his breath underneath the water, his whole life started playing in his mind like a movie. Everything that he used to do. He says, خِفْتُ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ لِأَنَّنِي لَمْ أُقَدِّمْ شَيْئًا. He says that I feared to die in this state, for I was unrestrained as a young person. I used to do everything that I wanted. At the same time, I took an oath by Allah and lied to my father. And I used to smoke, and I used to do all kinds of things. He says, as all the events were playing in my mind, I remembered a unique event when I was a little kid. I would pass by an old woman who would be sitting on the streets and beg, and then I would give her some money. Anything that I could spare from my pocket money, I used to give it to her. And she used to raise up her hands and make a dua for me. And then he says, وَتَذَكَّرْتُ فِيمَا تَذَكَّرْتُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And then I remembered the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, whosoever whose final words in this life is لا إله إلا الله, he will go to Jannah. فَبَقِيتُ أُتَمْتِمُ بِشَفَتِي تَحْتَ الْمَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, I was trying to whisper to myself لا إله إلا الله underneath the water. All this time, and none of his friends knows what is happening underneath there. In fact, one of his friends says that he left the pool, he went outside, and he smoked a whole cigarette, and he came back, and Abdullah was still underneath the water. At this time, they realized that their friend was in great danger. And so they quickly dived inside the water, and they took him out. As they were trying to save him, Abdullah was like a lifeless body. This young brother that was tall, with a strong build, athletic, he used to practice different sports. Abdullah found himself confined to a hospital bed. And the doctors tried to save his life. And he would move between the hospital bed and the theater. And the doctors would cut him up and stitch him up again, and he goes back to his bed. Eventually, after 4 years of spending his time confined to a hospital bed, and when they realized there was nothing they could do for him, they decided to take him home. After 4 years, Abdullah found himself at home, completely paralyzed from his neck downwards up until his feet. This brother, this young brother, who had so many dreams in life, and he had endless ambitions, he became motionless in bed. Nothing moves from his body except his tongue, his eyes, and his heart. And the rest of his body is lifeless. Abdullah found himself with no friends. And as he was lying in bed in this state, Abdullah woke up to find himself alone with no friends. Those ones that would incite him against his parents and make him not to go to school, those ones that introduced him to smoking, those ones that told him that he should lie to his parents, They were nowhere to be seen. Abdullah was all alone. Abdullah was asked about his wishes when he found himself completely helpless. What are your wishes? And Abdullah bin Ni'mah, he made three amazing wishes. And that is the first clip of the story that I want to share with you tonight. The story of Abdullah bin Ni'mah and the first clip, which is the three wishes of Abdullah bin Ni'mah. Please pay attention.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد
شرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد
طبعا قدر الله عز وجل لا اعتراض عليه وعسى أن تكره شيئا كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وهو خير لكم. لكن لو سألتك يا عبد الله عن أهم الأشياء يعني اللي فقدتها وتتمنى حصولها بعد إصابتك يعني بالشلل والإعاقة.
أماني، في ثلاثة أماني تتعبني، هي حسرة، أمني أني أسر لله سيدا وإن شاء الله ما أقوم منها، في خوف داخلي، في آية في القرآن تقول يوم يكشف عن ساق فيدعون إلى السجود فلا يستطيعون. أنا لا ما أقدر أسجد بنا. أيام ما كنت أمشي ضيعت صلوات كثيرة. الآن في ناس ممكن يحسنوا عليها صح؟ يشوفوني بهذه الحالة يحسنوا عليها. لكن لما أكون ما أصلي ما حد يحزن عليها. الثانية إني أقلب ورقة المصحف. هذه أنتم ما تفكروا فيها. أنا أشوفها مثل الجبال. الثالثة إني نفسي وقت عيد أو مناسبة أو فرحة أدخل البيت أضم أمي.
The three wishes that he had wished for was that he could prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that he couldn't do when he was in that state. And he remembers when he was young and healthy and full of life, he never used to pray salah. Just like so many young Muslims today who don't have time for salah. But when something bad happens to them, that is when they will wish that they had given some time for Allah and that they would have prayed salah. So his first wish was to make sujood and never be able to lift his head from that sujood and that he would die in that state. His second wish was that if he could open the Mus'haf, the Qur'an, and recite it. And many a times when people would visit him, he used to ask them, كَيْفَ عَلَاقَتُكُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ? How is your relationship with the Qur'an? He says, أَشْتَهِي أَنْ أُقَلِّبَ وَرَقَةَ الْمُصْحَفِ. He says, how much I wish I could turn a page of the Mus'haf. You people can do what I cannot. And the third wish, he says, is that on Eid or on any other day, he could walk into his mother's room and give her a hug or kiss her, appreciating his mother. This amazing mother to our brother Abdullah bin Ni'mah When Abdullah talks about his relationship with his mother, it is a special relationship between a mother and her son. Abdullah says that I wake her up so many times at night. She effectively became my hands with which I eat. She became my eyes with which I see. She became my feet with which I walk. She became practically everything for me in life. His mother is a very special human being to Abdullah. And so Abdullah, in the second clip that I will inshallah show you, relates his special relationship with his mother. So brothers and sisters, pay attention to the second clip as well.
Yeah, كل شيء لك. يدك. رجلك. عيونك. طبعا الحمد لله. أمي طبعا تعتبر كل شيء لي في الحياة. فعلا سبحانه وتعالى. الحمد لله. ما أقدر إيش أقول عن أمي. ليش أقول مهما تكلمت ما بقول شيء لو أقول لكم عمل واحد بس أنا أمني عندي إني أضم أمي مو في أي وقت في أي دوم مناسبة أحضنها تجي العيد والمناسبة أمي فيها حسرة أكثر مني لكن سألتكم انتم الآن متى آخر مرة ضمت أمك انتم اللي أمامي واللي في التلفزيون متى آخر مرة ضمت أمك الحمد لله أمي في داخلها حسرة تقول لي مرة جينا من الحرم تقول لي نفسي يوم من الايام ادخل الحرم وانت ماسكني وتطوف بي الحمد لله لو قلت لك الان تخيل بطنك ما تمشي خمس ايام بطنك ما تمشي ايش هتعمل؟ رد عليها خذ ملايين شربت الملايين ما نزل شيء ايش حتسوي تروح المستشفى طيب 10 ايام بطنك ما مشيت ايش حتسوي
عملية
مستشفى طيب انا لي 16 سنة كل 10 ايام ما تمشي بطني كل 12 يوم كيف أسوي كل 10 أيام أروح المستشفى عندي أمي الله يعطيها العافية تخرج اللي بطني بيدها اللي بطني تخرج بيدها من يسوي لك كده على أمك وانت تفضل زوجتك على أمك والله تفضل ولدك على أمك تفضل صاحبك على امك الحمد لله فين بسوة القلوب هذه الله يرحمنا ورحمته
حرمة اللي اتصلت بك
عادي حرمة دقت علي حرمة وكان عندي محاضرة قالت ابغى اكلم عبد الله رد عليها خالد صاحبي قال لها يا أمي خالد عبد الله مشغول شوية قالت له أسألك بالله قل له يا ولدي إذا كان عبد الله انحرم أنه يضم أمه أنا أبنائي عندي وانحرمت أنهم يضموني ما فيهم ولا شيء ولا واحد فيهم يدخل يضمني قاسي قلوبهم قاسي قلوب الناس
اتقوا الله، والله الذنب الذي أبى الجنة تم، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وانت تتجرى على أمك وأبوك وتبر صاحبك وصديقك،
اتلوهم
والله
اتلوهم آباء أبناء يبتلوا غضاءهم ومنها.
قال الشاعر: أغرى امرئ يوما غلاما جاهلا بنقوده كيما ينال به الضرر، فقال ائتني بفؤاد أمك يا فتى ولك الجواهر والدراهم والدرر، فمضى وأغمد خنجرا في صدرها والقلب أخرجه وعاد على الأثر، لكنه من فرط سرعته هوى فتدحرج القلب المعفر إذ عثر، ناداه قلب الأم وهو معفر: ولدي حبيبي هل أصابك من ضرر؟ فكأن هذا الصوت رغم حنوه غضب السماء على الفتى قد انهمر، فاستل خنجره ليطعن قلبه طعنا سيبقى عبرة لمن اعتبر، ناداه قلب الأم: كف يد ولا تطعن فؤادي مرتين على الأثر، كف يد ولا تطعن فؤادي مرتين على الأثر. يا أخي الإنسان اللي عنده علاقة مع أمه وأبوه سيئة، من الآن أنا حجة له أو عليه، من الآن يعلن توبة بينه وبين الله، ثم إذا قام من المجلس هذا أو من أمام التلفزيون يروح يسلم على يدين ورجل أمه وتوبوا إلى الله. الله عفو لنا
يا شيخ.
And even when Abdullah was asked about his relationship with his father who cursed him, and what happened to him was as a result of his father's curse, he said that I will not permit anyone to criticize my father, whoever it is. If my father cursed me, it is because of me and what I did, not because of my father. And when Abdullah found himself completely paralyzed in bed, unable to do anything, forsaken by his friends, and the only people who came to him were the people who used to pray in the local masjid. And so they would come to him and visit him in order to learn something from him and to see for themselves this young brother who was so full of life, and then he ended up in that state. And he too, Abdullah, he also benefited from those people who would come to him in the masjid, from the masjid. And his whole life transformed, and he became a da'i, a person in that state. He became a person inviting other people to Allah. And how many a young brother who came to visit him, who used to smoke anything that they smoke, and after seeing him, they went back and they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many a person who used to disrespect his parents, when they saw Abdullah, they went back and they changed their lives. How many a person who had no time to open the Quran, they went back and decided to renew their relationship with the Quran. Before a time comes when they would wish to open the Quran and they would not get the chance to open the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Abdullah used to give nasiha to people. And eventually Abdullah became a famous person. And he used to be invited to give live talk shows on TVs, just like the one that he saw. And on one occasion when Abdullah was doing a live TV show, and there was an audience in the studio, and back home millions of people were watching, and amongst the audiences that were watching from home was a young sister. And this sister, she became touched by the story of Abdullah. And so when the talk show was over, she said to her father and her mother that I want to get married to Abdullah. Perhaps a person might think This was a decision that was taken in haste. She made a hasty decision. Or perhaps something was wrong with her. Maybe she was also handicapped, disabled, just like Abdullah. But no, this wasn't a decision that she had taken in haste. And no, she wasn't handicapped or disabled like Abdullah. This was a young, beautiful sister who had dreams just like any young person her age. And she had so much hopes in life. But when she saw the story of Abdullah and she became touched, she decided that she should get married to this young brother. And her parents tried to discourage her that she shouldn't get married to this man. But she made up her mind. And through her mother, she convinced her father to accept this. And so they decided to go and visit Abdullah and see this person with their own eyes. And the Arabs, they say, لَيْسَ مَنْ رَأَى كَمَنْ سَمِعَ. Seeing is not the same as hearing. When they saw Abdullah, and that Abdullah was incapable of doing anything, he couldn't do a thing for himself. She could have changed her mind, but she became even stronger. And she decided that this was the person she wanted for the rest of her life. And even her cousin brother, he tried to talk her father out of it and say that if you cancel this engagement to this young man, I will pay 1,000,000 riyals, which is the equivalent of more than $300,000 if you cancel the engagement and I get to marry the sister. But this young sister, she had already made up her mind that she was going to get married to Abdullah. But Abdullah said to her on this occasion, she said to him that if I get married to you, my mother will come first, she will come second, she will come third, you will only be the fourth person or the fifth person in my life. She could have changed her mind, but she decided to go ahead. And many a time she would say to Abdullah, أُرِيدُ يَا عَبْدَاللَّهِ أَنْ أَخُذَ بِيَدِكَ لِنَطِيرَ إِلَى جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Oh Abdullah, I wish to hold you by your hand and be able to fly with you in Jannah. And so the two families agreed that Abdullah should get married to the sister. However, there was one obstacle. This sister is a Saudi national. Abdullah is a Yemeni who lives in Saudi with a permit, with a residence permit. And the laws of that country, it states that if you are a non-Saudi, you cannot marry a Saudi. And so the scholars, A'immatul Haram, and the scholars, they had to make shafa'a, they had to intercede with the authorities. And finally, the authorities gave permission, and permission was given to Abdullah to get married to the sister. And the wedding of Abdullah by Ni'mah took place. And people came from all corners to witness this amazing wedding. People came from as far as Egypt, from Qatar, from Bahrain, from Kuwait, and others, yet they watched this wedding as it was streaming live on the TV. And so the final clip, which will conclude the story of Abdullah bin Ni'mah, is Abdullah bin Ni'mah's wedding.
خواطري وسواعدي، بل أنت أنت كياني. الله يا نبض الحياة وشمسها وأريجها، يا صوتها الرناني.
بسم الله This is my nasiha to all the brothers who are here tonight and all the sisters likewise. I know nobody is perfect, but the truth is, we will never be able to repay back the kindness of our mothers. I know so many young brothers, they have brought nothing to their parents' lives, and in particular to their mothers' lives, except misery. How many a times they make them cry tears and they make them feel helpless. But I promise you one thing, young brother, that if you make your mother's life hell on this earth, then I give you this promise of Allah, that Allah will make your life hell on this earth. If you don't do your parents good and justice, then Allah, He will deal with you. This is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many parents are in a state of despair and helplessness because of what their children do to them? Picture this. They brought you to this country because they wanted to give you the best in life. They sacrificed the place that they were born in, that they grew up in, that they were used to. And they migrated here just because they wanted to give you the best opportunity in life. But when you came here, what did you do to them? You tortured them, tormented them, turned their lives into misery. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He was watching all along what you're doing to them. And He had His ways of taking His revenge on people who disrespect their parents. Try and picture the anguish of a mother. A brother, when I was in the city of Ottawa, this is a brother who runs a travel agency. He told me that a Muslim mother migrated to this country with four of her children. She used to live in Saudi, which is a Muslim country, and the husband used to make good money. So when she decided to come here, her husband tried to discourage her. He told her, we don't need to go there. We have a good life here. We earn good money. Why do you want to go there? But you know what? Her picture, the picture she had of this place was, this must be Jannah, this must be paradise on this earth. And so she badly wanted to come here. She was told, all the mothers and the sisters, they're driving big cars, and at the end of the month they make money. And so she wanted to live this kind of life. In the back of her mind, this was freedom. And so when the husband tried to discourage her and it didn't work, she decided to make hijrah and she migrated here. The young men, three boys and one girl, the boys grew up so fast. They were already teenagers when they came to this country. And then they decided to move to Edmonton. They went to Edmonton, and three of the boys got involved in drugs. Two of them, they got killed in the same year. The third one, he committed murder, and he's now serving a life term in prison. As for the girl, she became a prostitute. What is this mother left with? She goes to Abdul Nasir, the brother who owns the travel agency, and she gives him some money. She says, brother, I just need a one-way ticket. I came here with my children. I came here with my deen. I have lost everything. I have no hope for life anymore. I just need to leave. I remember I was in one of the masajid in the city of Minneapolis on the 27th night of Ramadan, and people were praying tahajjud, and a mother sends a written request. She says, I want people to remember me in my dua, I came with 7 of my children to this country, and today I do not have a single of my children with me. All have scattered and gone. Go to any Muslim home. It is a challenge. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ Except the ones that Allah has exempted with His mercy. And you will see and you will hear parents talking about the difficulty that they have in raising their children in this environment. When I was in Ottawa in Ramadan, a father inside the masjid in Ramadan, he was cursing his own children. He had given up on them. And so all he could do was just curse them and call them all kinds of names. Do you know one thing, my brothers? I wouldn't blame the children entirely. The parents too, they have a big role to play. They have a great responsibility that they have shouldered, but they have not fulfilled their responsibility. When they came here with the mindset that this is the place to make money, we all have to accept one thing, that people migrated and they came here simply because of dunya, nothing else. That is the reason why people came here, in order to make money. But in the process of making money, they lost everything. They lost their deen, and consequently they lost their families. So why blame the children only? You go to the masjid. I prayed in the same masjid that I gave khutbah yawm al-jum'ah. And the masjid is massive, amazing, huge. Yawm al-jum'ah, the masjid was completely full. Salatul Fajr today.